Today, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to everyone, because even if you're a guy, you are the product of a mother. Therefore, I want to say Happy Mother's Day to you and wish you a great day. Today, we're going to be looking at an interesting scripture for Mother's Day, I think. So we're going to be in Titus 2. I'm going to read for you the first five verses. So let's start and look at Titus 2. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. Titus 2, beginning in verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great day you have given us. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the time to be together in your work, in your house of worship today. We thank you, Father, that we can remember our Savior Jesus through communion. We thank you that you have given your word to us. And I pray that as we read your word and look upon it, you will fill our hearts that we might understand what you have to say. And in doing so, we might become the people you called us to be. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about women. And the first thing that Paul begins with here in today's scripture is the concept of teaching. And I don't think that the first thing you think of when you're thinking of a mother is teaching. And yet, when you actually consider it, teaching is what mothers do most of their lives. And so the idea of teaching really fits them. And so we're going to look at this from the concept of what God talks about teaching. This is what Paul starts with here. And the first thing he starts out with is the idea of teaching sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It is what is the Word of God, sound doctrine. So to know what sound doctrine is, one has to look at sound doctrine, and that is the Word of God. It's not just what sounds good, and it's definitely not what the world has to say. The world's point of view is almost always opposite of what God's point of view is. The world's point of view is almost always opposite of what God's point of view is. Therefore, women should not seek the advice of the world to decide what to teach. Oprah Winfrey is the worst place to go when you're looking for sound doctrine. Women should be seeking what God's word has to say. That's where sound doctrine comes from. Proverbs 8 and 9 remind us that wisdom is from God and we should seek it as more important than gold and silver, because it is from God. In order to be able to teach sound doctrine, we need to be in the word of God regularly. Therefore, women need to be studying God's word. They need to know what his word has to say. They need to know it so that they can share it and teach it to those who are before them. When we think of mothers, we tend to stop with those women who have children. Today, we're going to expand that, because we are not speaking of the familia point of view. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And so we're not going to look at just women who have children.
In the family of God, we want to recognize that you may be an older woman and a younger woman to somebody else. Now think about this. That means you could be an older woman and a younger woman at the same time. Because to one person, you're an older woman. To another person, you're a younger woman. Therefore, you have an unique challenge because you may be both people at the same time. To one, you may be as a daughter. To another, you may be a mother or a grandmother. And it's important for us to consider this because we're not looking at things from the world's point of view. We're looking at things from God's point of view in His kingdom. Therefore, when you find yourself in the older woman position, you should function as the older woman. When you find yourself in the younger woman position, you should function as the younger woman. This is going to be a challenge. But this is what we have to deal with this concept, because this is what Paul shares with us as we go through Titus here. He starts out, he says, older women are to be reverent in behavior. This implies that they are to have a deep and a solemn respect for younger women. They are to serve God by teaching this respect to younger women. You should be solemn about your lifestyle, and you should train younger women to do the same thing by showing them your behavior. That means you have to put your own desires aside to show this reverent behavior to the younger women. This may not be the fun thing to do, and it may not even be the easy thing to do, but it is what God calls us to. Paul warns about being a slanderer. A slanderer is somebody who makes false claims or misrepresentations about another person. The idea is that the older woman should not be speaking out about others wrongly or with malice. This would include the area of gossiping, which the Bible denounces soundly throughout it. There is no exception to this in Scripture. If we're speaking against people or gossiping, we are sinning. Paul writes against this in Romans. He writes against it in 1 Timothy. Proverbs tells us that we should stay away from people who are gossips. What this tells us is that older women should not act this way, but they should also not condone this behavior from other people. You know, it's one thing to say, I don't gossip. Yeah, but you don't say anything when everyone else does. We need to speak out and say, no, that's ill behavior. It's wrong behavior. We're not going to do it. By doing that, by training up the others that we don't behave that way, that behavior stops. I've always found that gossip continues only because somebody keeps gossiping. And nobody can gossip if nobody will listen. So it's a behavior that needs to be ended. We can't walk around speaking poorly of other people and expect there to be unity and kindness and love within the body. We have to stop that. So older women need to not only not do it, they need to not condone it. If we teach people that the behavior is wrong, people will stop the behavior. It also says that older women should not be slaves to too much wine, and I thought about this, and I decided, you know, when you look at this, this isn't just about wine, okay? Because if you make it all about wine, then I'll just go home and have beer or whiskey. Or something else. What it's really talking about is what are the things that drag us away from God? Wine, hard liquor, prescription drugs, whatever other vice that we have today or in the future, anything that draws us away. Listen to what Proverbs 23 says. Proverbs 23 writes at the end of it, and it always interests me when I read this, but listen to what it says, beginning in verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who tarry long over wine. Those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart will utter perverse things. You will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies on the top of a mast. They struck me, you will say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. Isn't that an amazing attitude to take? And yet, that's where we end up when we allow the things that draw us away from God to be a part of our life. The idea here is of somebody who seeks out and desires with such effort that thing that separates them from God. So older women, your job is to help teach younger women to be opposed to those things, to avoid them. And it means that older women must possess the idea in their heart and not just say it because it sounds good. Older women are to teach what is good. Thought long and hard about this. Teach what is good. In Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 18, if you remember, the rich young man comes to Jesus and he starts out, "Good teacher," and then he asks him his question. And Jesus' answer is this, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Since only God is good, to teach what is good means to teach God." Jesus does not suggest that there is any good anywhere except in God. Teaching what is good means avoiding poor behavior yourself so that those around you will see your good behavior and learn from it to avoid the bad behavior. This is becoming really challenging, isn't it? Older women are going, "I don't like any of this." But you know what? This is what God calls us to do in the family. This is how we teach each other. Not just by saying it, but by doing it. James tells us, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. He says, otherwise, you're like the guy who looks in the mirror and sees that your hair is a mess and then walks off and doesn't do anything about it. Right? There isn't any of us who walk in the mirror and look at my hair and it's going everywhere like this. In the morning you go, "Yeah, that's good. I'll go to work that way." No, we look in the mirror and we go, "Holy moly. I got to do something. I get out the lard. I clean my hair up. I want to make sure that it sticks to my head," right? I'm just thinking of, you know, Little Rascals. Sorry. You look at that and you go, "I got to do something about my hair." Why? Because I looked in the mirror and I saw it. Well, guess what? When we look in God's word and we see what it says, if we don't do anything about it, it's like going to work with your hair everywhere. That's what we want to do. Now let's flip the other side. Because now we're going to talk about what younger women are supposed to be. I want to point out to you that you are in the younger woman position when you are the younger woman. So at some point in your life, you're going to be, until you're Methuselah's wife, you're going to be the younger woman at some point, and you're going to be the older woman at some point. So this is not about what's better or worse. It's about which side you're on of that line. You need to listen to older women and take to heart what they teach you to do. This is sometimes really difficult because it requires humility on the part of the younger woman. It is a requirement that you be humble in order to learn from somebody else. It's a behavior that is not natural. Humility is not natural. Humility comes from God. Therefore, younger women, we need to seek God in order to seek humility. It is behavior that is learned from God. I know our tendency is to presume that older women are old, right? And their ideas are old. Guess what? That is true. In fact, most of the ideas that we find in the Bible are as old as Solomon. But you know what? They're just as sound today as they were when Solomon wrote them down. They are still God's truth. And because they are God's truth, we need to seek them, learn them, put them in our heart, and know them. What does Psalm say? I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to avoid sinning against God, then you better learn his truth and hide it in your heart. You know, Jesus makes a comment. He talks about the fact that he was talking to his disciples, and the Pharisees were attacking him because they said, hey, you guys are defiling yourselves because you're not washing your hands, right? What does Jesus say? He says, you know what? It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes into your mouth goes through your body and is eliminated. But what comes out of your mouth comes out of your heart. And so what comes out of your mouth defiles you if what is in your heart is defiled. But if what is in your heart is the truth of God, then what comes out of your mouth will be the truth of God. And you will be clean in that time. So I know that it's hard for us when we listen to old people to want to listen to them because they're old. I've realized how old I'm getting. I told a client how old I was. Every time I've talked to him in the last 2 weeks, he reminds me how much older than him I am. So it's very nice. These concepts that we're talking about are old, but they're truth from God. And because they're truth from God, we cannot ignore them. What we're really saying often when we oppose these old ideas as passé is that I'm not willing to obey God's word. I'm too prideful to listen to what God has to say. And therefore, I'm going to simply ignore God's word. Now, I know that's not what's going through your mind, but that's what's going through your mind. I don't want to be bothered with that. That sounds too old-fashioned. That sounds too boring. That sounds unfun. But that's what God is calling us to. Not the unfun and the boring, but the truth. These are God's precepts, so they will always sound strange when you compare them to the world. Because remember when we started, the world is always in opposition to God. So why would you expect that what God calls us to would be normal in the world? The reality is, it's always going to be opposite to what the world is calling. What the world says is opposite of God. Therefore, when we compare our way to God, it's going to sound odd or strange or passé or old. But it's the truth of God, and it is always right. Paul says younger women are to learn to love their husband and children. This seems kind of like an odd idea, doesn't it? Don't you always love your husband and children? But Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 14:1, it's very interesting. It says that a wise woman builds up her family, and a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Isn't that interesting? You know, how would that happen? Well, you see, the woman, when she upholds her husband and encourages him, and when she trains up her children, she builds up her home. The woman who is foolish denigrates her husband and allows her children to go about their lives without guidance. And in doing so, she tears down her household. Her children have no guidance. They do as their friends do. They take guidance from the parents or the older siblings of their friends who may most likely be in the world. And therefore, all their guidance comes from the world and not from God. Therefore, their training is not from God. And it's no wonder that their behavior then is patterned after the world. The foolish woman's husband is driven away from home. Oh, he may not actually leave, but in his heart, he's no longer there. Proverbs 27:8 tells us that a man who strays from his home leaves it vulnerable to attack. Therefore, if the woman allows this behavior to take place in her household, she opens it up to all kinds of problems. Younger women are to be under control and to be pure of heart. And this, I tell you, is a foreign concept in this world. The world today promotes uncontrolled behavior and self-indulgence. If you choose to be under control by God, you're held back and thought to have no self-worth. This could not be farther from the truth. It takes far more effort, far more energy, far more strength to humble yourself before God than it does to go out and do whatever the heck you want to do. That's just laziness. And that's what this world is teaching our young women. The world tells us that women who don't go out and live the way they want are less of a person and not able to be themselves. And God tells us that if we want to be our very best, we need to allow Him to transform us. Look at Romans 12:2. What does Romans 12:2 say? Romans 12:2 says, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then listen to verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you want to be the person that God calls you to be, then you need to let God change you. That is not what the world tells us today. The younger woman is to be trained to work at home, and this does not mean that you're not allowed to go work outside the home. But it does mean that the home is the domain and the responsibility of the woman in God's kingdom. And to forego that responsibility completely is to oppose God's call to you. So to the extent that you are able to change that situation, I think you will be happier in doing so. The younger woman is to be kind. Now this is an interesting call for women. I don't know very many women who I would say are not kind. And yet, Paul says they're to be kind. This is not a trait that everyone has. I don't believe kindness is natural. Some people are kinder than others. But to be kind as God calls us to be kind requires God to be in our life. And if he's not in your life, being kind will be difficult. This world doesn't teach you to be kind. It teaches you to be self-absorbed. It teaches you to focus on yourself. It teaches you to belittle others and to climb over and on them to get what and where you want. That's not kind. And that's not what God calls us to be. Younger women are to be supportive of their husband in the responsibility as the leader of the home. This is according to the Word of God, and it is not the idea of subservient behavior. But rather, it is the idea of submitting to the leadership of your husband. I have talked to many couples who have told me that the wife waited for the husband to learn to grow or to become the leader in the household. It was a very difficult thing for the younger woman to do, and it can be challenging to humble yourself in that situation and to wait out your husband while God works on him. Allowing God to work on the heart of your husband may seem like an impossible task, but these things pay dividends. Just ask Julianne. It may seem like an impossible thing or a forever thing to wait for God to work. But you know what I've found in studying the Word? God does not ever work in our time frame. Sarah was promised a son when she was 75. Actually, she was 65. When did she give birth? 90. 25 years. That's a long time. Joseph was taken away from his home when he was 13. He didn't see his father again till he was in his mid-30s. David was anointed king by Samuel when he was a young man. He didn't become king and sit on a throne for about 30 years. God does not work in our time. He certainly does not work in the time of Instagram or Facebook or anything else that we have. He works in his time. So you may have to wait a long time, but being faithful to God and humbling yourself pays dividends. So now let's look at some women in the Bible. There's a couple women I want to share with you who did just this very thing. The first one I want to look at is a woman named Naomi. Now, Naomi is in the book of Ruth. Naomi is a widow. Her husband, Elimelech, took her and her two sons, and they went to Moab, which was a pretty far way away from where they lived in Bethlehem. And while they were there, her two sons got married. And then in a cruel turn of events, her husband, Elimelech, and her two sons both died. And so now she is a foreign woman in a foreign land with two foreign daughters-in-law and no visible means of support. And so she goes back to where she came from. She goes back to Bethlehem. And she begins her life in Bethlehem as a widow with Ruth, one of her daughters who stayed with her. Her daughter-in-law. She's not even her own flesh and blood. She is a daughter-in-law. Guess what? Like being in the church and you take under your wing one of the young women in the church. She doesn't stop being the mother or the older woman. She trains her daughter Ruth how to be a woman of God in Israel. She teaches her to work for food, doing what she is able to do. And when Boaz, a man of the city, takes an interest in Ruth, it's Naomi who teaches her the respectful and wise way to present herself to the man Boaz. And in training up her daughter in the right way, Ruth wins the heart of Boaz and is married. And Ruth and Boaz have a son who is, in part, raised by Naomi. And he is the great-grandfather of King David of Israel. Patience brings dividends. Secondly, let's look at Timothy. Not really Timothy, but Timothy's mother and his grandmother, Eunice and Lois. They're only mentioned briefly in the Bible, but Paul pays them great homage. Timothy is raised by these two women, and he's raised to be a man of God. His sincere faith came from the training of these two godly women. How did Eunice learn to raise Timothy? Because she learned from her mother, Lois, how to raise children, to love God, and to serve Him. Paul says that Timothy has a sincere faith that is in him and that he learned from his mother Eunice, who learned it from her mother Lois. And you see, this is not natural in us. It is learned behavior that comes from training. Dividends. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, if you train up a child the way they should go, even when they are old, they will not depart from it. This is not a quick lesson on going to church Sunday mornings or how to pray before your meal. That's only the tip of the iceberg. The idea that Paul is speaking of in Titus is the long-term training that is done by the mother and the grandfather or grandmother, the older women in the life, who spend hours in prayer and Bible study to be prepared to share and train over time the children and younger people who need guidance. Not just their own, but all those who they are with. This is the idea of building them up, a desire to worship God, to love the Word of God, to pray and have strong relationship with God. This requires a lot of work and a lot of time, and is what Paul saw in Timothy, and he attributed it rightfully to Lois and to Eunice. This is the responsibility of older women and younger women, mothers, grandmothers, daughters. Not the fathers aren't involved, but they have a different set of responsibilities, which you guys will find out, and everyone better be here on Father's Day. You will find out your responsibilities. They are equally daunting. But this is the responsibility of mothers and grandmothers. And you know what? Fathers and grandfathers and young men, we need to support them and serve them and lift them up and help them in every way that we can. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31, describes the woman who Paul describes in Titus 2. I want you to go home today. I want you to read it for yourself. But before you read Proverbs, I want you to go back and reread Titus 2, 1 through 5. Think about the traits that are there. Then go back and read Proverbs and see if you don't see the correlation between the wife that Solomon describes and the mother and grandmother that Paul describes. I hope you see that being the older woman in the kingdom is a genuine privilege that you have. Don't treat it as an obligation. Don't perform it out of requirement. Rather, Seek the opportunity to share God's word and wisdom with those who are younger than you. And in the same way, being a younger woman is not a drudgery that you must put up with. It should be a time to humble yourself and gain that knowledge and wisdom that somebody else has. To allow yourself to be prepared for life ahead of time. Imagine how much better your life will be if you listen beforehand to the wisdom of God. All the things that you won't commit, all the problems you won't get into, because you bothered to humble yourself and listen to somebody who had been there before you. Grandmothers, mothers, younger women are all vital in the life of the church, and we should encourage them and pray for them and lift them up to do the tasks that are before them that God has laid on their hearts, and to present themselves worthy before God in doing their tasks. We should ask that God's Holy Spirit would help them and guide them in all that they do. Let's pray.